First in our Bill of Rights is the freedom to hear uncensored ideas and opinions, to think your own thoughts, and to say what's on your mind. We couldn't have liberty without it. Now, more than ever, it's good to spout off, to listen, debate, and participate. Here's your host of Spouting Off, commentator, columnist, and all-around rabble-rouser, Karen Cataline.
Hey everyone, I'm a regular guest host on the nationally syndicated Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network.
Now, the one who protects us all from prattling prognosticators and perfidious pundits.
I say, America, stay out the bushes.
Look for the Union Naval.
And to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government.
From my cold, dead hands.
I'm concerned that if we don't impeach this president, he will get reelected.
It's time for the Alan Nathan Show. Here he is, the longest-running nationally syndicated centrist host in the country, Alan Nathan.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to the second hour of the Alan Nathan Show. I am delighted to be in Alan's chair. He's on assignment. I'm Karen Cataline, by the way. And we have our very first guest of this hour. I'm really excited to talk to him because there's quite a split on this issue among conservatives, and maybe he can clarify for us. He is a senior fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. His writing has appeared in outlets such as USA Today, The Wall Street Journal, and Politico. Ryan Young joins us right now on the Main Street Radio Network. Hi, Ryan. Good to have you.
Hi, Karen. Thanks for having me.
Great. Well, I'm personally wanting to hear your point of view about this, along with for our listeners. As long as I can remember, and when I became more political, my first kind of introduction, was someone who was a hardcore libertarian and was just four square against tariffs. And I know that there's a lot of conservatives who are anti-tariff, and they bring up the Smoot-Hawley tariff, which they say was responsible for the Depression. And I want to just enter into this discussion by asking this one question. Is the tariffs that we're talking about today, which are reciprocal tariffs, meaning that hopefully they're not unequal so that other countries can slap tariffs on us, and we're only asking for parity there. Is that the same thing as what conservatives are against, or is there a misnomer here?
I think that a lot of conservatives would oppose reciprocal tariffs because when you look at it, it's letting other countries dictate our trade policies. And one thing we found out, one of the differences between rich countries and poor countries is that poor countries tend to have higher trade barriers. That's one of the reasons they're poor. They're hurting themselves. So for the U.S. to say, even if we have the right goal in mind, lower trade barriers for everybody, if we're going to say we're going to follow your trade policies until you improve yours, if I'm that country, I don't find that very persuasive. And if I'm the U.S., we're going to harm ourselves economically for a tactic that probably is not going to work.
I guess I'm still confused about, trade policy is something that's never been one of my fortes. And when I hear about it and I think about it, I go, I need somebody who could really help explain this, because if I don't understand it, I think a lot of people don't. Am I right that reciprocal tariffs mean, as Donald Trump has been saying, that other countries slap tariffs on us, they're ripping us off, but we let them get away with it, and we don't expect equal treatment from them? Are you saying that we shouldn't have equal treatment with other countries in terms of trade policy, and this is somehow bad to be fair?
I'm saying we shouldn't copy other countries' mistakes. If Europe slaps a 25% tariff on cars, they hurt themselves. Their people have to pay more for cars, and their people have less money left over to spend on other things. So not only do they have fewer cars, they have fewer less housing, fewer consumer goods, less of everything. And in the U.S., I mean, Europe is shooting itself in the foot with its 25% car tariffs. So for the U.S. to say, we want you to stop shooting yourself in the foot, so we're going to start shooting ourselves in the foot until you stop it.
See, I guess that's what I'm sorry I don't understand so much, because the tariffs that we're talking about harm us, because I think they're slapping the tariff on us, right?
Yeah.
So we're having to pay more to do business with them. And so if isn't it kind of like mutually assured destruction? If you equal it out, then people might lift the tariffs, or no?
No, because one thing we found from experience is that when we place a tariff against another country, that country retaliates. This has happened 6 times now with China in the last decade. I think everyone is on board with the fact that China is a bad faith actor on trade. They steal intellectual property. They insist on government control of foreign investments. They have human rights problems. Everyone agrees. So we place some tariffs on them in order to encourage them to make reforms that they need to make. It didn't work. Instead, they put on retaliatory tariffs. So we tried a second round of tariffs. Same thing. No reforms, but they did add retaliatory tariffs. We're on round 6 as of this weekend. And still, Beijing has not made a single substantive reform. So as a negotiating tactic, it doesn't work.
What's your feeling as to the alternative? Because it seems like tariffs are being used for a variety of policies, not just trade. But we're doing that with Canada and Mexico with regard to sex trafficking and fentanyl. In other ways, we are simply trying not to give them a break, and we don't give ourselves a break. What's your prescription for something in the alternative?
Well, the alternative is to stop shooting ourselves in the foot. With the auto tariffs that we are considering against Canada and Mexico, a lot of car components might cross the border 6 or even 8 times, which means it would potentially now be hit with a 25% tariff 6 times or 8 times, you could raise the price. You could more than double the price of a car. And that does not help American consumers, nor does it help the auto industry in America.
Mm. So in terms of, for example, it being used to address the sex trafficking and the illegal immigration issue, which is phenomenally difficult on our economy and costs us billions upon billions of not only dollars but human lives. Do you have another thing that you would recommend instead? I think that's what Trump is doing at the moment, is trying to persuade countries to clean up the border. So what might you suggest? Or are you for, I don't think you're for open borders, I would doubt, right?
No, I would think that it's a cover story. Fentanyl trafficking has been in decline for 3 years. There was a spike during the pandemic. It was going down for 3 years in a row without any tariffs. And the other is that when President Trump threatened the tariffs in the first place, unless Canada and Mexico stepped up border enforcement for fentanyl and for immigration and for sex trafficking. I'll give you an example. He wanted 10,000 troops on the Canadian border provided by Canada. Uh-huh. Turns out they were already doing that. So in his statement, Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau said, we will continue to provide 10,000 troops at the border. And he wanted the same thing for Mexico, 10,000 troops. They already had 15,000. They just kept it as it is and said, yeah, we have 10,000 troops there. So as a negotiating tactic, I don't think it's that. I don't think that's what he's actually after. I think
what's
President
he after?
Trump just, I think he just likes tariffs.
Really?
Economists are almost unanimous against tariffs. President Trump he's been a fan of them since at least the 1980s. So I think he's going to pursue them, even though most of his advisors are questioning the wisdom of that strategy, as is the stock market.
I think it would be helpful if people on your side, and I'm really asking for information because I would venture to say that the great majority of people do not have direct knowledge. They have opinions, but it's not an issue that people understand tremendously well. So on your side, I think the case needs to be made because it seems confusing for most people. It does to me. At least Trump finally explained it to people, but I don't see the other side saying this is going to backfire and here's an alternative. So what does the Competitive Enterprise Institute think about the war on illegal immigration?
I think if you want to stimulate the economy and solve a lot of other social ills, the way to do it isn't tariffs, it's deregulation. Let's use the steel tariffs as an example. You will help the steel industry, at least in the short term. That gained 1,000 jobs, but it cost steel using industries 75,000 jobs, 70 times as much.
Right. Well, it's a fascinating topic. I'm so glad that you came on to talk about it. Hopefully we can have another chapter in the weeks to come. Ryan Young, Senior Fellow at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Thanks for joining us. When we come back, we will have another great guest. I'll tell you about him when we return on The Alan Nathan Show on the Main Street Radio Network. Stay tuned.
With so much noise in the wellness world, it can be tough to find what works best for you. Sports dietitian Dawn Jackson-Blattner wants to empower every body to feel their best, starting with simple nutrition and fitness tips.
As someone who's passionate about Pilates and nourishing my body, I love fueling my workouts with wholesome foods. That's why I'm excited to partner with Eggland's Best and Club Pilates to share expert tips and recipes to support your active lifestyle this National Nutrition Month. I created two make-ahead recipes to power up and recover from Pilates classes. Perfect for busy weeks, my Golden Milk Fitness Muffins and Tortilla Quiche are made with Eggland's Best eggs, which have 6 times more vitamin D and 10 times more vitamin E compared to ordinary eggs. Fans can also enter the Eggland's Best for Everybody sweepstakes, no purchase necessary, from now through April 30th for a chance to win a grand prize of $5,000 and a year-long Club Pilates Unlimited package. Your wellness journey starts here.
Go to ebfamilysweeps.com for more.
The AI craze hasn't always been good for freelancers, as some AI tools exploit human creativity without proper credit or compensation. Fiverr's Matt Clunan has more.
Since the rise of generative AI, creatives have been worried about losing their income to AI tools. But Fiverr's changing that dynamic so that freelancers can feel empowered with AI and have it work for them. This also provides businesses with even more access to talent and their work instantly.
So it's really a win-win combination. Fiverr's new AI platform gives freelancers control of their own work, ensuring AI serves freelancers rather than replacing them.
Freelancers are the backbone of today's economy and Fiverr's success, and their work should be valued. With Fiverr Go, creators can now train their own personal AI models with their own portfolio to produce work in their unique style at scale for businesses of all sizes. Freelancers set their prices and retain all creative rights.
To learn more about Fiverr Go, visit Fiverr.com. That's Fiverr.com.
My baby brother, a father.
Come on, it's time for his nap.
Whoa, he can't sleep on his stomach. Babies should always sleep on their backs in a safety-approved crib, and the sleep area should be clear of blankets, toys, and other loose or soft items. It reduces the risk of SIDS.
SIDS?
You know, sudden infant death syndrome.
Guess I need to start studying up on safe sleep for little man here. Being his favorite uncle comes with big responsibilities.
For more information, visit safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov, sponsored by the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development. You want to give your baby everything, so start with a safe sleep area. Babies younger than one should always be placed to sleep on their backs on a firm and flat surface like a safety-approved crib. And keep blankets, pillows, and other soft or loose items out of the crib when the baby is in it. Learn more about safe sleep for babies at safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov. Sponsored by the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development.
The mission of Paralyzed Veterans of America is clear. Accessibility. Veterans who have served and sacrificed the best of themselves deserve access to the best our country has to offer. Access to meaningful employment. Access to the veterans' benefits they've earned. Accessible homes and vehicles. And access to every part of their communities. With PVA staff working inside VA hospitals, no other veterans organization has provided more real-time, ongoing support for paralyzed veterans and their families. PVA is proud to serve veterans across all branches, all generations, and all conflicts. Our nation's heroes fought for your independence. Join PVA in fighting for theirs at PVA.org.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. And if you want to drink from a fire hose, just look at the headlines these days. A lot of people can't even keep up. Even talk show hosts cannot keep up with all of the amazing things that are happening in this country in the first 6 weeks of Donald Trump's presidency, his second term. And to that end, I found a terrific post online of things that would give you just the tiniest bit of remembrance of what we lived with not very long ago. And I will start, but I probably won't have time to finish this, but you never know. We tolerated President Obama for 4 years and kept quiet. Here's my issue with the whole "let us all be a United States again" that we heard from President Biden. For the last 4 years, the Democrats have gone scorched earth. They salted the fields and now you want to grow crops. The problem is 75 plus million people have memories longer than a hamster. We remember the Women's March with, I'm sorry to call it, vagina hats the day after the inauguration. We remember the 4 years of attacks and impeachments. We remember not our president and the resistance. How about Maxine Waters telling followers to harass us in restaurants? Now, we lived through all this. This is just a side comment. And there's a huge list here and it's not complete. But the reason it's so important to remember is not to be vindictive, not to be retaliatory, but to hold people accountable, because now the same people would like us all to forget. I'm going to cut a few of these to get more. Oh, except Maxine Waters telling followers, oh, we did that. Presidents, we remember the president's spokesperson being kicked out of a restaurant. A comedian holding up the president's severed head. We're supposed to forget all that. We're not going to. And not out of revenge, out of justice, in order to hold people accountable for what they did. Robert De Niro yelling F Trump at the Tonys and getting a standing ovation. Nancy Pelosi tearing up the State of the Union address. This is just in the first term, but today it is, it's amazing. And those things aren't working, but other things are, and I'll get to that in a minute. Total in the tank move on the mainstream media. Constantly cheering, and well, we know that the media was totally corrupt and propagandized, nonstop and live fact-checking on our president and his supporters, nonstop in-your-face lies, and open cover-ups from the media. Isn't that an ironic phrase, open cover-ups? I'm covering this up, but I'm being open about it. I'm telling you what I'm doing. The president and his staff being spied on, five senators shot on a baseball field, so-called comedy show that turns into nothing more than a Trump hate fest, 95% of negative coverage in the news, state governors asking and getting everything they ask for, and then blaming Trump for their problems. Trump top aide verbally assaulted in two D.C. restaurants. That was Sarah Huckabee Sanders. That's it's interesting that their whole politics is based on persecution. We're being treated unfairly, but really, they're the retaliatory ones. How about people banging on the Supreme Court doors, called every name in the book for supporting Trump? And then we get even more and more recent. Hollywood said they would leave after Trump was elected, but they stayed this time too. Not only was Trump called Nazis, but anybody who supported him was called Nazis, deplorables, fascists. Nothing worked. A sitting president calling us Americans garbage. Commie law and the media trying to tell us to get past it because Biden doesn't matter anymore. That was when they switched. They said that Trump was a threat to democracy, and yet they installed a new candidate without allowing anybody to vote openly and transparently. I bring all this up, I dredge all this up, because they haven't changed. They're exactly the same people, except that some of them are on the bandwagon. And what is most interesting is they unleashed this kind of unbelievable hatred and irrational thought on their base, in their base. They cheered irrational thought. They cheered inciting violence, which last time I checked was a crime. And it seems like ancient history, and it's only 6 weeks ago, that we saw that a couple of days, actually it's more like 2.5 months ago, a couple of days before the election, they literally had everybody on their side calling Trump a Hitler. It not only demeans and defaces and demeans people who really did live through the Holocaust to call a sitting American president who's done more for Israel than possibly any president in history to call him a Hitler. It is, well, it's deplorable. It's despicable is what it is. And now, here's what this leads up to. Well, at least now. Now, we have conservative pundits who are tripping over each other to try to rehabilitate the left, because the left is so lost, so confused, stands for nothing except that they hate the orange man. And now we know why, because they're feeding at the government trough. They have much to protect. They have much to try to keep secret. It isn't just JFK, RFK, and MLK. It is who's been selling out our country. What probably makes me more aggravated, if I could be on a soapbox for a moment, is that conservative pundits, just listen to Fox News, The Five, they're all giving Democrats advice. This is the first time in recent memory that these same Democrats are being fully 100% exposed for the hateful, hypocritical, fear-mongering, power-hungry political hacks. Did I say enough adjectives? That they are. And they deserve to be seen for who they really are. And yet, why do we have conservatives giving them advice, trying to tell them what they should do to be liked? It'll only be phony. It'll only be fraudulent. This is who they are. Politically, it ain't personal, Sonny. It's strictly business. Ideologically, they're out in the cold and they deserve to be. Well, I have to take a break. When we come back, we'll have another guest on the Alan Nathan Show. You're listening to the Main Street Radio Network, and we'll be right back with more on the Alan Nathan Show after this.
A recent J.P. Morgan study found that most participants with a plan say their financial situation has improved in the last 5 years. Their financial health is good, and they talk to their kids about money. Mike Arov, Divisional Director at J.P. Morgan Wealth Management, will explain more.
The good news is that it's always the right time to start planning and investing for the future. Think about what you want to accomplish in 6 months, or maybe the next year, or even longer. One way to help make that happen is by having a plan and working with a financial advisor. At J.P. Morgan Wealth Management, you could do this when, where, and how is best for you. That could be remotely from your home, in person at a Chase branch, or you could also invest on your own in the Chase mobile app and on Chase.com. We can help you identify your goals and keep you on track. Learn more about how to plan and invest for your financial goals at jpmorganwealthmanagement.com.
J.P. Morgan Wealth Management is a business of J.P. Morgan Securities, LLC, member FINRA, and SIPC. For older adults, the path to wellness evolves with age, bringing changes in physical health, social connections, and mental well-being. An expert in geriatric care from Humana says having a primary care physician who knows you and understands your health history can make a big difference in your quality of life. Dr. Robert Zorowitz, who works in health services for Humana, explains.
Visiting your primary care provider regularly is one of the most important things you can do to stay healthy longer. Having a long-standing relationship with a doctor who knows you helps them understand what's important to you. Consistent visits allow your doctor to monitor your health over time. This makes it easier to detect patterns, address concerns quickly, and help prevent minor issues from becoming more serious problems. Your primary care provider can help make sure you receive the right screenings and preventive care to address your health holistically.
Your insurance carrier can help you navigate your care. Call the number on the back of your insurance card to find a doctor in your network. A recent J.P. Morgan study found that most participants with a plan say their financial situation has improved in the last 5 years. Their financial health is good, and they talk to their kids about money. Mike Arov, Divisional Director at J.P. Morgan Wealth Management, will explain more.
The good news is that it's always the right time to start planning and investing for the future. Think about what you want to accomplish in 6 months or...
The Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today. We're delighted to have with us Emily Berning, founder of Let Them Live, an organization which is rewriting the narrative of on choice and abortion and all those things with a simple, compassionate approach, addressing the root cause of many abortions, financial instability. Emily Berning, thanks for joining us here on the Alan Nathan Show.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, the left has become enormously adept for a long time of fear-mongering. They fear-monger about everything because when you're in fear, you probably do as you're told better than when you're not in fear. And fear-mongering about abortionists leading doctors... Delay. Well, this is what you say. Fear-mongering by abortionists lead doctors to delay life-saving care for pregnant women. That's just astounding. Talk to us about that.
Yeah, fear-mongering is a huge thing that we see in the abortion industry because really they're there to make quotas, right? They're there for that paycheck. And abortion is the biggest moneymaker that Planned Parenthood, for example, is going to have. And so when you put fear into a situation, fear is a very powerful motivator. We've probably all experienced this in our life. When there's fear, we tend to make rash decisions. We don't typically think through things. We kind of have that fight or flight response going on in our body, and we feel pressure to make a choice right now in this moment without considering things. And that's just the exact tactic that is used by abortionists, and it really prevents women from having the opportunity to think through their decisions, to think through what they're actually feeling and what they're thinking and what they want to do. And it also prevents, it makes it harder for people like me and our organization, Let Them Live, to give women that opportunity to make another choice, to receive support and choose life and give their baby life and have an opportunity to get back on their feet. So it's really important that we kind of step in the gap there and just put the pressure on the abortion industry to stop putting the fear-mongering on women, because that really is not for a woman.
Let's get more detailed. What are they fear-mongering about? What do they say to pregnant women that gets them scared, and then they go and they have an abortion? What are some of those things?
Yeah, oh, they just feed into the fears that they know they already have there. So one example is, you know, if they know that this mother doesn't have a supportive partner and the father of the baby, you know, isn't in the picture, or, you know, they're going to pressure on that. They're going to put the pressure point on that and say, he's not going to support. He's going to leave you. Even if he is in the picture, they might say that to put the pressure, you know, oh, that he's going to leave you. You're not going to have the support you need. If you have this baby, you're not going to be able to have your career. If women are in college and they go to the local Planned Parenthood across the street from their campus, they're going to put the pressure on the education. Well, there's no way that you can be pregnant and have a baby. Can you really afford this and finish your education? It's really the exact opposite of empowering women, because the feminist movement is supposedly supposed to uplift women and tell them that they can do anything. But this is the exact opposite, and putting the trigger points on some of those main things. You know, you're not going to be able to afford it. Your baby might have deformities. You're going to die during childbirth. Just any of those tactics to get them to start worrying as much as they can about the future.
You know, I know that your organization, Let Them Live, actually helps pregnant girls and women with finances and that sort of thing. But is it at all helpful? I always wonder this. I mean, is it all helpful to help them understand that there's an agenda? I guess it isn't. I don't know. That there is an agenda driving all that fear-mongering. So maybe they'll be a little more savvy and realize that people who are trying to make you feel sad and scared and frightened and angry, whatever, are usually have something they're trying to get you to do. Have you tried that, do you do that?
Yes. Yeah, it absolutely can be helpful. It depends on the situation with the mom, and that's why our counselors are trained to kind of feel the situation, because some moms that may not be helpful. But actually very recently, I got a call from Lauren Mazika, who runs Sidewalk Advocates for Life, and she had a mom that needed help. And it turns out that this mom was being pressured so much by an abortion funding organization, and they were going to pay for her to have a late-term abortion, and they were just putting the pressure on her so much. And so it, in that scenario, it helped to share with this mom not only about how we can help and how we're going to help, but to sort of help her see the lies that they were saying. They were saying, oh, this organization, they're not actually going to help you after you choose life, and just kind of putting that fear. But we were reminding her that they only want one outcome from this. That after she has this abortion, if she had this abortion, all of the underlying problems that she's facing right now will still exist. And that organization is not going to be there with her to walk through it and figure it out, but we will. We are going to hold her hand. We're going to give her financial support. We're going to help her with, you know, her debt. We're going to help her get educated on her finances, and we're going to make sure she's connected into resources. So there's a really big difference between organizations that fund abortion and organizations like Let Them Live that fund life. And so it's important to know that we can share that with women, and we can show them the difference and tell them the difference, and we will be able to show them the difference between an organization like ours and an organization like theirs.
What do you tell them about these pregnant girls and women? What do you tell them as to why Planned Parenthood and others want so badly for them to have an abortion? If they ask, what do you tell them?
Yeah, we have absolutely been asked that. And for a lot of women that have actually been inside Planned Parenthood themselves, it's easier for them to see, because they understand that it's just this conveyor belt. Women come in pregnant, they leave not pregnant, and it's just a number. And what we like to share with them is we help to kind of clear the misconception that Planned Parenthood is just this, you know, family community planning health center, right? That's the lie that has been perpetuated. And we show them the numbers, we break it down for them that Planned Parenthood's, like I said, main breadwinner is abortion. And that's how they're able to stay afloat. They have to hit certain numbers of abortions in order to receive, to pay their bills and get the money that they receive. And it's also, again, we always share with them as well that once they leave those doors, the only time that they're going to be going back to Planned Parenthood or Planned Parenthood is going to want them back is for another abortion or to promote, sex outside of marriage. Like, it's not going to be for resources with diapers and wipes. It's not going to be for financial help. They can't go back to Planned Parenthood after they've had that abortion and say, I'm still struggling. I have this abortion. You said that it was going to, you know, help me in my situation, but I'm actually worse off now because I have mental and emotional and physical challenges. So are you going to help me? They're not going to do that. And so sharing that with these moms just helps them to see past this immediate decision and helps them to think long term about who actually is going to be there for them in the long run. It's not going to be Planned Parenthood or these abortion clinics. It's going to be these pro-life resources that we're going to make sure that they are good and that they have the opportunity to get back on their feet.
You know what, Emily? It's it's hard to get people who are just trying to put food on the table to understand that some, you know, there are organizations who want to make money off their misery, that money is really what they're after. You know, it's really thinking so dark about people that a lot of people just don't want to go there. So it's clearly, I don't know if you have any thoughts on that with our last couple of minutes, but it's very difficult for people. Well, you know, they say they're trying to help me, and we don't want them to be a political pawn on either side. Right. So in our last couple of minutes, just tell everybody how they can find you or follow you or any last comments that you might have.
Absolutely. Yeah, well, it all comes down to intention, you know, kind of made me think about money, right? Money can be used for good. It can be used for bad, just like I the example I shared with abortion funding organizations or Let Them Live. And it always comes down to our intent in what we're worshiping, what we're putting at the center, right? Planned Parenthood, the end goal is the money. Whereas with the pro-life movement, we genuinely love these mothers and want them to make a life-affirming choice because we know that that is the best possible outcome for them and their child. And so if you want to be part of that, Let Them Live is a great way to do that. We fundraise so we can financially support women, and we've helped over 1,000 women cancel their abortions. So you can join and support, volunteer, donate at letthemlive.org or on our social media.
Yeah. Just one thought. It's amazing that it makes them angry that you've prevented abortion. That should tell everybody where they're coming from. They're mad. They're mad that some people chose to have a baby instead of to have an abortion. That kind of gives you an idea of the agenda that's being driven here. Emily Berning, thank you so much for joining us from Let Them Live. Well, we have one more guest to wrap up and round out the hour. We'll tell you about him when we get back on The Alan Nathan Show.
It's National Nutrition Month, and I have tips to help you make healthier, more informed choices. The Dietary Guidelines for Americans states that 95% of kids and adults do not meet the daily fiber recommendation, and Begin Health Daily Growing Up Prebiotics is a great, gentle, clean, and kid-friendly option to help fill in the gaps. My next recommendation is to enjoy more fish. With Morey's, enjoying premium, better-for-you seafood has never been easier. And for a dietitian-approved beverage option, I love the Planet Oat Unsweetened Oat Milk. Royal Jelly is a nutritional powerhouse. It supports cognitive function, and when combined with 500 milligrams of Cognizant citicoline, which is clinically researched to support memory, focus, and attention. Look for Cognizant on the label, and you can learn more about Cognizant at Cognizant.com. Whether your focus is heart health, brain function, metabolism, energy, or beauty, there's a doctor-formulated multi-plus multivitamin from Garden of Life for you. For more, visit NutritionByMia.com.
I'm raising three picky eaters, and that is why I'm excited to team up with CPAC, America's number one frozen shrimp brand. They teamed up with Talker Research to do a comprehensive survey about our picky eaters. They surveyed 2,000 parents across the country, and here's the key findings. Dinner time is our most problematic meal. Five-year-olds are the pickiest, and 44% of parents are concerned that this pickiness is affecting our kids' overall nutrition. But put seafood on the menu. That's That's a simple solution because 32% of kids don't say no to shrimp. That's why I stock my freezer with CPAC. I've got shrimp scampi in the freezer that I can saute up and have a dinner winner on the table in minutes. Or I turn to my air fryer, the king of convenience. When you get kids involved in that meal planning and meal prep, they're absolutely more likely to eat. And go to CPAC.com to find out more and start your own seafood journey.
Circle K is bringing its free rewards program, Inner Circle, to Washington and Oregon. The program officially launches today, March 5th, offering rewards to loyal customers with discounts on fuel and more. Sign up is easy. Join by downloading the Circle K mobile app or visiting inner-circle.circlek.com. Then simply create an account with your email, phone number, and password to start saving today. First-time members can save 25 cents per gallon of fuel on their first five fill-ups when using Inner Circle's intro offer at the pump. And the perks don't stop there. Inner Circle members will also receive personalized offers as well as exclusive deals throughout the year. Benefits include everyday fuel savings, drink discounts, and more. Start saving today with the Inner Circle Rewards Program at Circle K. Learn more at CircleK.com/inner-circle.
Are you excited about being a new grandmother?
Of course I am. A little intimidated, too.
Why?
Taking care of a baby today is so different than when I had you.
But, Mom, you did great with me.
Thanks, son. But I put you on your stomach to sleep.
Right. But now we know that babies should always be placed on their backs to sleep for naps and at night to reduce the risk of sudden infant death syndrome, or SIDS.
You also slept with blankets and toys in your crib.
True, but now we know to keep everything out of the crib except for my sweet baby girl. No blankets, pillows, or other soft or loose items.
Daddy's going to teach Nana all the ways to keep you safe while you sleep. Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
For more tips on safe sleep for babies, visit safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov. That's safetosleep.nichd.nih.gov. Sponsored by the Eunice Kennedy Shriver National Institute of Child Health and Human Development.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Alan Nathan Show. I'm Karen Cataline, filling in for Alan today, and we have our final guest rounding out the hour. And thanks to everyone, including Derek, James, Jane, and of course, Alan Nathan. It is a pleasure always to be a regular guest host on this show. So we have with us former AT&T executive and former Marine. He leads HisGlory.me and HisGlory.tv, and his latest book is All for His Glory, The Near-Death Experience of a Modern-Day Job. Pastor David Scarlett joins us right now on The Alan Nathan Show. Hi, Pastor. Good to have you along.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yes, there's a terrible thing going on right now in Syria. I think that the previous administration really wanted Assad out of Syria. And now, as we speak, Christians and I think, what is it called? Amalites are being slaughtered in Syria. What do you know? What can you tell us? And what can we do about it? People have to speak up, right?
They certainly do. This is just the martyrism against Christianity is just, there was reports over 1,000 people were killed, and none of the media is picking this up. You know, sometimes when you have a dictator like Assad in place, it holds up and keeps the Christians safe. Anytime you remove somebody without a plan, a solid plan, it creates a vacuum, and it usually comes against the Christians. And this, again, is what's happening here in Syria. It happened in Iraq when Saddam Hussein was taken out. And so we have to be very careful when we make these moves, but we have to stick up for life, especially the life of Christians.
Yes. As a Jewish person myself, I sometimes, and I absolutely stand by Christians with this horrific thing that's going on. They kicked Jews out of most of the Arab countries a long time ago. I sometimes wonder, is it fair to say that Christians in America and Christians around the world are shy about speaking up and standing tall for other Christians around the world? They're turning the cheek a little too much, or is that a misnomer?
No, I think you're spot on. You know, I also have Jewish blood in me as well. I'm from the tribe of Judah, but we have to stand up. You know, we've got too much passive pastors out there saying, you know, turn the other cheek. That's not what Jesus said. You got to protect yourself. He also said that, you know, they will come after him because we come after us because of their hatred towards him, but he overcame the world. So we have to stick up for all life, Christian life, Jewish life, all life. And, stop this religion of hate and trying to kill in the name of religion.
Yeah, and what we also know is the so-called Arab Spring was Arab nightmare for a lot of people, because now we're seeing this in Britain and through Europe, where there is an intention, a stated open intention, to take over Europe for Islam. And I don't think that we talked about this in the last hour. That's not hyperbole. They've said it, right?
Exactly. That's their plan. Their plan is to overtake through Islam, through all, you know, Europe first, and then they're trying to do that here in the United States as well. Not in a bloody war like they did back with the Crusaders and also Saladin. They're doing it remotely until they under the radar, until they build up enough population, and then they start pushing for Sharia law. And you say, well, that could never happen in the United States of America. Well, we have Sharia law in places in Dearborn, Michigan. We have them in places in Minnesota. There is a city in New Jersey that has the first Islamic mayor that's trying to put Sharia law. It's happening in the United States as well, and we have to put a stop to it.
Yes, and we have seen no-go zones in Europe and other places. And in fact, I just read somewhere, I'm trying to recall, a young girl was actually beaten up in a European state, forgive me, a European country, I don't remember which one, for eating a sandwich on a bus, and a Muslim person told her it was Ramadan and she is not to eat in public, and they beat her up. This is the very antithesis of religious pluralism that America has stood for. Comments on that, and also what really concrete things can people of all good faith, Christian, Jew, and Muslim alike, do to make a difference there in Syria and other places around the world?
Well, we have to stand up for love. You know, love conquers all things. If you are trying to destroy another human being and kill another human being in the name of religion, you're obviously doing it wrong. It's about love and building people up and protecting life. And if you allow that to happen in places like Europe, and it's coming to the United States, there's places, like I said earlier, that are happening in the United States. If you don't make a stand and say enough's enough, they will overtake your society, and all of a sudden it will be completely Sharia law and Islamic.
We don't have enough time to delve further. I wish we did. A lot of people wonder, okay, so where do I go to stand up? What do I say, and who do I say it to? And how can Christians be less passive? Where do they go to be less passive? Not just Christians, but all people who are horrified by this and want to be counted. Where do they go and what do they do?
Well, the first thing is ask yourself, what church are you going to? If the church is saying that this is okay, then you got to get a new church. People forget that Jesus also said the world would be divided and you should have a sword to protect yourself, not to go on the offense, but to protect ourselves from this type of situation. How do people counter this? It's first of all, being aware of it, telling other people, praying, and start getting that out so that these governments will say, no more, we got to make a stop. You've got to put pressure on these governments to see this brutality and this murder that's happening right before our very eyes.
Yes, absolutely. In our last less than a minute, tell everybody how they can find you, follow you, and learn more about your latest book, All for His Glory.
Yes, you can get the book at hisglory.me. It's the book of me being in the corporate world, dying, going to heaven, seeing God, and coming back to start a ministry called by His name. And heaven is absolutely beautiful. It is real. And We do everything for His glory at His glory, and we reach 25 million people in every country of the world. And you can reach us at HisGlory.me with all our programming, and HisGlory.tv. We do movies, documentaries, music, and the purpose is to reach a billion souls for the King of Kings and Lord of Hosts.
Pastor, it's amazing. Sometimes they say bury the lead. When you said you died, you went to heaven, and you came back. I should have known that and asked you about that story. We'll have to save that for another time. Thank you, Pastor David Scarlett, for joining us. We appreciate it. Well, that does it for this edition of the Alan Nathan Show. Tune in every weekday for more on the Main Street Radio Network.
The opinions you hear on the Main Street Radio Network are those of the host, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of the station, Main Street Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Main Street Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. So please, consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about Main Street Radio Network, contact us at 703-719-0433 or at our website, mainstreetradionetwork.com.